Let's open our Bibles this morning to Jeremiah chapter 16, and then after just a bit, we'll be in 1 Kings 22. Jeremiah chapter 6, I believe I said 16, but I meant to say 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and then 1 Kings 22. Let's stand out respect to the Word of God as we read just one verse this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture. As we study, we find Jeremiah lived in a day much like ours. And Father, we know you're still encouraging people to walk in the old paths. Father, help us to be a people willing to do that, in order that we might find rest for our souls. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've been looking at this passage of Scripture now for a couple of weeks in just a short little series. The first week on those old paths, we saw that God spoke the Bible, and I believe it just as He spoke it. I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I don't, when I preach from it, wonder, did God really say this or not? I believe God spoke every word of the King James Bible, and I believe He preserved it for us. Now, He didn't speak it in the King James Bible, but for English-speaking people, I think as you study this, and this is kind of in the works to preach on this before long, why do I preach from the King James Version? I saw a church recently, here this past week, actually, that said, we're not King James only, but we aren't opposed to it. What kind of a stand is that? Either you believe it or you don't. But we'll save that one for a future message. But the fact of the matter is, God did speak the Bible. And I do believe it, just as He spoke it. I don't have to go through hoops to try to explain why it doesn't say what you can just read and see that it does say. But yet, there are those today, as Jeremiah found people here at the end of verse number 16 that said, we will not walk therein. There are people today that say, we will not believe the Bible just as it's spoken. Or we do not believe God spoke the Bible every word and every sentence. Then we saw last week that the old paths also include the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And one day everyone will confess it. You see, there's a lot of people out there today who just don't believe it. And they come up with all kinds of theories and philosophies as to who He really was and what He really did and didn't say. But I believe He just was the very Son of God, eternal, virgin-born, sinless, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, had a literal physical resurrection, and one day is coming back physically. That's who He is. That's who I worship today. I don't know who you worship. I hope you worship the same God, because if you don't worship this same God with everything above included, then you're worshiping a different God, and there's a lot of people out there today doing just that. God said, here's the way, and they said, we will not walk therein. How unfortunate for them, because God put it right here in His Word for us. All we have to do is read it and believe it. But some say, we will not walk therein. Today I'd like to turn back to 1 Kings chapter 2 and see our third thought here. The old paths. And as we look at it, I'm going to do just a brief study with Jehoshaphat. 1 Kings chapter 22. And I want to start reading towards the end of the chapter with verse number 41. Earlier in the chapter, God begins with Jehoshaphat and tells us of the incident I actually want to look at. And then at the end of the chapter, He sums it up. Now, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament, and particularly the books of 1 and 2 Kings, especially 1 Kings, what God is doing is He's running a parallel history. He's giving us the history of the northern kingdom of Israel, and He's also at the same time giving us the history of the southern kingdom of Israel. And so what had happened, and why He tells the incident we're going to look at of Jehoshaphat, and then sums up Jehoshaphat later in the chapter is we see Jehoshaphat in the first part of the chapter 22, how he relates to the northern kingdom. Because God has been focusing in on the northern kingdom, and then he switches over to the southern kingdom here in verse 41. And so let's read verse 41. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Now Asa, Jehoshaphat's dad, was a very godly king. Continuing on now in verse 42, Jehoshaphat was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now, with Asa, his father, there was war in the years leading up to that between the two kingdoms, the northern and the southern. But Jehoshaphat made peace. It goes on in verse 45 to say, now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Verse 46, and the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father, Asa, he took out of the land. And so here we read about Jehoshaphat. We find him as a good king. We find him doing many good things. Now, he wasn't perfect. There were some things that he needed to address that he didn't address. But he did address some things that not even his father addressed. And so we see Jehoshaphat, and in those verses get a picture that this is a good and a godly ruler. And overall, he was. But as I said, Jehoshaphat was not a perfect man. And Jehoshaphat made a terrible mistake. Now, it didn't so much affect Jehoshaphat, but it's going to affect his posterity. We're going to get back to 1 Kings chapter 22, but let's take a quick look in 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. Because God is going to focus primarily on the northern kingdom. But then here in 2 Kings chapter 8, he goes back to the southern kingdom, verse number 16. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse number 16. Now all this is important to see, because the subject matter, the old path we're going to look at today, is a very unpopular message. And church after church is failing to preach it. And I've preached it all along. And as soon as you hear the title, or at least what the subject is, you're going to say, oh, not again. But this is a very serious matter. And it has very serious consequences. And so I want you to see the consequences first. First of all, we saw Jehoshaphat was a godly king, a godly ruler. That he did a lot of good things. That he served God with his life. That when he stood before God, he probably will receive rewards for his faithfulness. But he wasn't a perfect man. And he made a mistake. And that mistake is going to affect his children and his grandchildren and on down the line. So often we think in the area that we're going to talk about this morning that it's not that big a deal. I can still walk the line. I can still be faithful. I can still do what I need to do. But if you make this mistake, it may not be you that pays the price. It may be your children. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 16. Notice this. And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, being then king in Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Now notice verse number 18. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And notice the last phrase here. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. You can read just about anything about the situation of Christianity to today, and they'll say we're losing the next generation. That's exactly what happened here in the life of Jehoshaphat. He lost the next generation. Now, Jehoshaphat did that which was right in the sight of God. His son did that which was evil in the sight of God? What happened to make such a difference between the life of Jehoshaphat on the one hand and the life of Jehoram, his son, on the other hand? I think it all comes down to one simple thing. And this is an old path that is being disregarded today, and it is personal separation. Personal separation. Now, what do I mean by personal separation? I'm just talking about Christians personally living differently than the world. Just because the world does something, we don't have to do it. Because much of what they do is sin according to the Word of God. And some of the things they do that we shouldn't do may not necessarily be sin, but the world would classify it as sin and we would lose our testimony if we would do it. I was talking to this morning about Chicago to Brother Wilman's dad, who drove through Chicago. And I learned to drive in Chicago. And Chicagoans have different driving habits than Bucyrans. Trust me on this one if you've never driven through Chicago. I like Bucyran driving habits more than Chicago driving habits. But when I came to Bucyrus, I still had some of those Chicago driving habits. Now, were they wrong? I wouldn't get a ticket for anything I was doing. But I found out, or dawned on me very quickly, I needed to change some of my habits. Not that there was anything wrong with it, but the people around me would view it as wrong. And my testimony would be tarnished. You see, the world might do some things, and we can go to the Word of God and say, well, what they're doing is not sin. But if you do it, you're going to tarnish your testimony. We're talking about personal separation. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the fact that Christians are the light of the world. I'm afraid most Christians today have turned their lights out. A light is different from the darkness. And that's why God used that illustration of light and darkness. We're supposed to be inherently different than the world. Now let's see what's going on in Jehoshaphat's life, and hopefully this will help you not make the same mistake that he made. Because whether your children are grown and out of the house is irrelevant. There are children watching you. We have children coming through here and they're looking at you and they see you as super Christian. And you will impact them whether you realize it or not, whether you ever talk to them or not, they're watching you. And if you go to the store and there's a little kid over there that you may not even recognize, they recognize you. And they might pull on mommy's tail of her shirt and say, Mommy, there's a man from church. They're watching you everywhere, whether you're aware of it or not. And if you do have children or grandchildren that you influence, you need to know what happened in Jehoshaphat's life so that you don't make the same mistake. The first thing we find is in, well, let's read verse 1, but we'll look in verse 2. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. There's his first mistake. Jehoshaphat was where he didn't belong. He didn't belong there. That wasn't his country. Those weren't his people. To make peace is one thing, but to join as an ally, which is exactly what he does. We saw that from later on in the chapter, that he made peace with them. But now he's an ally. He goes to the country, and I like the way God says that he went down. It was a digression. He wasn't getting better. Today, the call is for unity. Let's all just get along as Christians. The Word of God knows nothing of that. God says you're lowering your standards to do it. There's a big push among denominationalism to go back into Rome and to make peace with Rome. Rome has yet to budge an inch at all. The denominations are budging here and there and conceding and compromising everywhere. The world isn't going to change. They're not going to compromise. The one who's going down will be the Christian who's joining himself to the world. The first mistake is that he went where he didn't belong. A lot of Christians are making that same mistake. Because the world goes there for their entertainment doesn't mean we should go there for our entertainment. For them, it's not going to cause them any spiritual damage. They're already dead in their trespasses and sins. But if we go there, it will cause us spiritual damage, spiritual harm. We may not sense it, but the damage will have been done. The compromise will have been made. And we don't know who's sitting in the back that we don't see watching us go there and causing them shipwreck to their own spiritual lives. The first mistake Joshua made is he went where he didn't belong. Now, as we continue reading in verse number 3, the king of Israel said unto his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." Now, there was a peaceful, as it said in verse 1, for 3 years between Syria and Israel, and now the king's starting to stir some things up. He says, "We've got some cities that Syria conquered previously, and we're sitting here on our hands. We need to get up and take those cities back." Verse number 4, and he said to Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king, here's mistake number 2. "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." The first mistake he made in his personal separation is that he was where he didn't belong. Now we find that he thought, his second mistake is he thought he was just like everybody else. He thought he was just like the unsaved king of Israel. And the fact of the matter, he wasn't. Israel worshiped different gods. Jehoshaphat was probably, if we would use New Testament terminology, he was a born-again man. There's a vast difference between a lost man and a saved man. And if you're sitting here this morning thinking, "I'm just like them," you're making a huge mistake, and you're walking down the same path of error that Jehoshaphat made in the area of personal separation. We are not the same. We can't do the same thing they do and have the same results. They can go out boozing it up all night long, wake up with their massive hangover on the next morning, and by afternoon be laughing and joking about it, thinking, "That was the best time of my life. I don't remember anything I did, but I just know it was the best time of my life." You try to do the same thing, you'll wake up with your massive hangover, but then in the afternoon, as you come to your senses, the Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of your heart and convict you of your sin, and you should be the most miserable individual on the face of the earth. You see, you are not like they are. Don't ever think you are. The Holy Spirit of God and all of His holiness indwells you. And if you tarnish your heart and your life with sin, shame on you. And if you have so quenched the Spirit that you don't feel that conviction anymore, you better find your prayer closet this afternoon and get your heart right with God. Because sin has so calloused your heart that the Holy Spirit has no more ministry in your life. What a sad place to be. You see, Jehoshaphat thought he was just like the king of Israel. He says, "I am as thou art. We can go to battle together. There won't be any consequences for me. Everything will be just fine. We'll have a big enough force. I know we'll be victorious." And that's not at all what happened. Not at all. We're not going to get to the end of the chapter, but that's not what happens. His first mistake was he went where he didn't belong. His second mistake is he thought he was like everyone else. Continuing on to the next verse and verses beyond, we see that Jehoshaphat ignored the warning signs. He ignored the warning signs. Look at verse number 5. The king of Israel said, "Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle?" Jehoshaphat says, "I'll do it." Verse number 5, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." That was the first red flag that should have popped up in Jehoshaphat's mind as he's joining an alliance with the king of Israel, an ungodly man. This ungodly man was just doing what he thought was right, and he was leaving God out of the equation. You see, he was trying to go forward without any prayer. That should have been the first warning sign to Jehoshaphat that this man is operating outside the realm of God. This is what he should have been thinking. Said, "I ought to rethink what I just said about being just like him. Because I'm obviously not. He doesn't pray about what he's going to do. I do." Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And he missed or ignored this first warning sign. He said, let's pray about it. Now, the second warning sign is in the next couple of verses. King of Israel says, okay, Jehoshaphat, you want to pray? We'll pray. And so he calls his 400 prophets together in verse number 6. They give him nothing but good news. Go up and fight. God's going to deliver it for you. But something's not quite right and sitting right with Jehoshaphat. Notice this comment in verse 7. You see, this is the second warning sign. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? You see, the king of Israel worshipped Baal. They didn't worship Jehovah. Jehoshaphat worshipped Jehovah. Jehoshaphat thought you could just all get together and be one big happy family under God and everything will be just fine. And it's dawning on him right now, at least it should have been. Apparently he was ignoring it all, or he was oblivious to it all. But to the fact that the king of Israel was a Baal worshiper. He missed the warning sign of false religion. Of false religion. Just because a person says they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. It took me a long time to figure that out after I first got saved. I know I'm a little bit slower than most people. But I thought just because someone said they're a Christian, I thought, well, that's wonderful. We can have great fellowship together. But you know, there's warning signs to tell you that they are not like you. And personal separation means you need to step back and rethink some things. That's what Jehoshaphat should have done. And he failed in that subject. And so he says, that's all fine, King of Israel. You can have your prophets, but bring in somebody who knows Jehovah, a prophet of Jehovah, to tell us the Word of God. Now, this should have been a warning sign in verse number 8. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. In all of his kingdom, he only knew of one Christian man. We're given his name, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But imagine yourself being Micaiah in a whole country. Thousands of thousands and ten thousands of people, probably over a million people. And you're the only one. What would you do? You see, Jehoshaphat should have learned from Micaiah. Jehoshaphat is sacrificing his personal separation on the altar of convenience and making a name for himself. And in the long run, he's losing his children and grandchildren to the devil. And here's Micaiah, who's probably lost his whole family to the sword. But the king of Israel, afraid to raise a hand against him because he stands for God. And what he prophesied came true. And he was hated of the king of Israel. He goes on and says it here in the middle of the verse. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And so they call this Micaiah. But that should have been a third warning sign. Not only was the king of Israel a man of no prayer, not only was he a man of false religion, but he was also a man who hated the Word of God. He had no use for it. He had no time for it. He had no desire to hear it. And if you would try to share the Word of God with him, he would cut you off immediately. We're talking about personal separation. Personal separation has a lot to do with who we hang out with. What are the people you hang out with like? And I would certainly hope not, but have you reached this point of the king of Israel, of no prayer, and of a false religion, thinking that God will acknowledge me just because of my works and that I'm just a good person, and so God will love me for that? But hatred for God's Word. We would say, well, I don't hate God's Word, but a lot of people are living. I know a lot of Christians that are living, and not necessarily anyone in the room, but I know a lot of Christians that are living as if they hate God's Word. And if their works were to speak, it would speak loudly and clearly, we hate the Word of God because we will not obey it. You see, God sent warning signs to Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat missed every one of them. He ignored them all. God will send you warning signs when you're getting into areas that you don't belong to be in as a Christian. You need to heed those warning signs, unlike Jehoshaphat, who ignored them, and then he gets himself into trouble. We're going to jump down to verse 17. Micaiah comes, he gives a prophecy, tells the king what he wants to hear. The king rebukes him, says, I know that's not from God. You tell me what God wants me to hear. And we have a message in verse number 17 from God to the king of Israel, Micaiah, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? You understand what just happened there? You've got two kings sitting side by side. You've got the king of Israel, and you've got the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. You've got the ungodly king, who's a false worshiper, a worshiper of Baal. You've got the godly king, Jehoshaphat, a worshiper of Jehovah. You've got standing before them a prophet by the name of Micaiah, who's a godly man. A man godly enough to stand up alone against who knows what persecution in his society from the king all the way down. Telling these two kings side by side that if you go to battle, you're going to die. That's what he means by sheep having no shepherd. The leadership dies. And the ungodly king looking over to the godly king who should have known better and saying, didn't I tell you this guy wouldn't say anything good about us? God is warning Jehoshaphat that if you continue on the road you're traveling, there's going to be disaster at the end of the road. You may not see it. It may not be apparent or obvious. And it may go against all odds. But mark my word, God says, there will be disaster. How does Jehoshaphat respond? Jehoshaphat responds by failing to heed God's message. God said, if you go, you'll die. Jehoshaphat said, ha, 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 that's a good one, Micaiah. I don't believe you. He's saying, God, I don't believe you. God has warned us to have personal separation in our lives. But we look at the world around us and we see them doing it. We see them laughing and having a good time. We don't see the consequences from the sin in their lives. And we think, I'm just like them. I'm going to do what they do. I'm going to let down the guard of personal separation. And so Christian after Christian after Christian, just like the lemmings, going up to the cliff and dropping off to their destruction. We already saw the results. As Jehoshaphat lost his children, how do you think Jehoshaphat felt? Because if you would have read that carefully in 2 Kings chapter 8, you find that Jehoshaphat is still alive and they reign together. And Jehoshaphat sees his son, Jehoram, going after Baal. Before that, he saw his son set his eyes on a wicked woman who was a Baal worshiper, who turned his son's heart to Baal worship. You see, Jehoshaphat lived long enough to see the consequences of his decisions. To be able to say that I can go and do that, even though God warns me against it, even though God warns me there'll be destruction at the end of the road, I can get away with this. He thought he was above it. He thought he was greater than God's warnings. And that's the exact attitude of so many Christians today. Well, I can drink a little bit. It's not going to hurt anything. I can smoke. It's not going to hurt anything. I can go there. That won't hurt anything. I can watch this. It won't bother me. I can read that. Nobody will notice. God sounds His warning clearly. You'll reap what you sow. And you cannot choose the consequences. God still is calling you to the old paths. The old paths of separation. Wherein is the good way? You're not missing anything by leaving sin behind. You're gaining a great deal. He's asking for the old paths. Will you be like Micaiah and say, even though I stand alone, I'll stand in the old paths? Or will you be like the people in Jeremiah's day and say, we will not walk therein? Even they suffered the consequences. The city, shortly after that, was destroyed and most of the people slaughtered in the battle. Who will you follow this morning? Father, we're grateful for your word. Grateful for its clarity as you command us to be holy, for you are holy. Thank you for the example of Jehoshaphat. I'm sure he'd rather not have his name mentioned here. And yet, in a way, I'm sure he's glad to have the story told. As so many who make tragic mistakes want to tell the story so others don't follow with the same mistake they made. Father, pray now that you would stir our hearts to live a separated life, a life that pleases you, following you in all that we do, in order that we might in fact be that bright light shining in this dark world of sin, that others might see our light and glorify our Father in heaven. Father, give us that determination even now, that if we've never lived a separated life, that we would begin today. That if we have been living that separated life, that we would determine today to continue even more determinedly to do it. And Father, there's even one here this morning without Christ, that if they were to die sometime today, they don't know for sure if they'd go to heaven or not. Father, I pray that as we have the time of invitation, or that they would step out of their seats and come to the front, that we might be able to take your word and show them how they can know 100% for sure they're on their way to heaven. Well, thank you now for what you do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.